91.3 KXCI Tucson, real people, real radio. Hello, Tucson. Thanks for joining us today at KXCI Radio, where our community comes together, and we're glad to be together with you. This is Kathy Harris with my co-host Aspen Green, and we're bringing you Broad Perspectives Radio, a program by women, about women, but for everyone. You can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. Today, we are delighted to have Lisa Falk with us. Among other things, Lisa is a museum curator, but today we're going to talk mostly about her beautiful artwork. Aspen, tell us more about Lisa.
We are so delighted to have with us Lisa Falk, who's been doing pottery on and off since she was a teenager. In Tucson, she picked it up again 20 years ago when her son wanted to learn. She did a parent-child class at the Tucson Clay Co-op. While her studio is at home, she glazes and fires at her work at the Clay Co-op. When not happily creating at her studio, Lisa works at the University of Arizona's Arizona State Museum, which focuses on the history and the culture of indigenous peoples in the greater Southwest. Lisa holds a MAT in museum education from George Washington University and a BA in anthropology sociology from Oberlin College. Welcome to the show, Lisa. It's so great to have you today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you again.
Well, as I mentioned in your bio, that you grew up in Washington, D.C., we always want to know, why do people end up in Tucson? What brought you to Tucson?
A job at the University of Arizona. But the first time I came to Tucson, I didn't know anything about Tucson except for the Center for Creative Photography. And I had to see it. I came to visit a friend and I told her, that's what I want to do. That's what I wanted to see. And so we went there and then went to the one Cuban restaurant that was by the university way back then, because I had married a Cuban and I loved Cuban food. And that was my introduction to Tucson.
Well, how did you hear about the CCP all the way in Washington, D.C.?
I was a photographer. That was my first art form. They had Ansel Adams collection.
Exactly. Yes, it is a wonderful collection. So the last time we had you on our show, which you've been on before, was March in 2021, when you were on with Marge Pellegrino, our dear friend, and you were talking about a workshop series for the high school classrooms. And it was in the middle of the pandemic, and a lot has changed since then. Lisa, for listeners who might be meeting you for the first time, can you introduce yourself and your role at the Arizona State Museum, and maybe tell us a little bit how that workshop worked out with Marge as well?
Sure. So I came to Tucson to work at the Arizona State Museum. I was the director of education at that point. I've been there for 24 years now. I can't believe it. But I am now the head of community engagement, which is in charge of our exhibits and our public programs and any education work we do for K through 12 students. And so that program during the pandemic was a creative writing workshop based on an exhibit we had that had opened 2 weeks before we all had to close down. And so we thought very, very creatively about how can we take the messages of the exhibit and the ideas of museum education and creative writing to classrooms. And we worked with three high schools, and it was phenomenal. And it dealt with using the ideas about borders and what is a border in your life, what are walls in your life. It was an exhibit about different border walls around the world. If any teacher is interested in that, a version of those materials are on our website on the education tab and free to use. There's also lots of other cool materials for educators there.
And what is that website?
It's statemuseum.arizona.edu. And Arizona is spelled it out. And then, like I said, you just go to the education tab for the school program material.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I remember it well. That's such a great subject for
Marge,
you and Marge.
So great to work with. We had so much fun. And I wish I could come up with another project we could do together.
I'm sure she would love that. So what was your path to becoming a museum creator? Was this something you aspired to be when you were a younger person, or did you run into somebody? Or
not necessarily to be a museum curator, but to work at a museum. I grew up in the D.C. area, as you mentioned, and I grew up going to the Smithsonian's Folklife Festival, which was every summer, and it used to be in 1976, it was the whole summer. And it was a big blowout celebrating the cultures of the United States as well as their counterparts where they came from.
Is that
And
all
I,
in the mall, the big mall that's there?
yes, it's on the mall. At that point, it was a different part of the mall, but I worked all summer there. I think I was selling programs or something silly like that. But it really had a big influence on my life. My mother would take me there as a child before that, and I actually helped with programming at other festivals for the one on New Mexico and the one on Bermuda. And so working at a museum for me was all about engaging people with each other's stories. It wasn't about the objects so much, even though I'm an artist. It was about the stories and people coming together and learning different perspectives and starting to get to know each other. So I decided I wanted to be a museum educator because that's what educators do in museums. And I went on and got a degree after my undergraduate degree. I got a degree in museum education from GW, which has one of the oldest museum education programs in the country. And that led me to actually working at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History and creating a book called Cultural Reporter that helped students do the same kind of work that folklorists and museum curators do.
So, with your focus on community engagement, what does that look like in practice in Tucson for you?
Right now, some of the projects I've been working on was an augmented reality dispersed mini exhibit that I worked with five community groups and three university partners on. And you can find signs with QR codes on them in front of the Arizona State Museum, on the fence at the Dunbar Pavilion, at the Chinese Cultural Center, at Mission Gardens, and at the El Rio Neighborhood Center, and at Pascal Yockey's Education Center. But they can also be accessed on the project website. The project was called Discovering Community in the Borderlands. So it was our stories. And you'll have holograms pop up, and you'll have 3D objects from museum collections, old photographs. It's really cool. We also have one which was really interesting. We did downtown looking at the urban renewal, a Chinese block there was, because the State Museum has the objects. And the special collections at the UA Library has the documents, and the Chinese Cultural Center was really interested in bringing that to light. So there's a sign by the sort of near the music hall downtown where you can see what it looked like back then. And so the website for that is just DCB for Discovering Community in the Borderlands, DCB.arizona.edu. And again, Arizona is spelled out. And you can do them all from your kitchen there. You don't have to go around town. We want people to, in terms of, what does that look like? I worked with two educators to create lesson plans. So there's high school lesson plans on the site so that schools could use it as well. So that's one project. Another is we're doing pop-up exhibits in the community at community festivals. We open them each year. This is our second year of doing it at the Tucson Meet Yourself Festival. And last year's was called Traditions in Motion. And it looked at wheel culture, if you will, in Native American communities. So it looked at lowrider cars and bicycles and motorcycles, and it looked at skateboards all through the lenses of Native artists and Native photographers. And then this year it's called Coyote and Raven Present, Tricksters and Truth Tellers, Different Ways of Seeing. And we worked with a Cherokee Otomizori artist out of Oklahoma to sort of create the characters of Coyote and Raven, who are traditional tricksters in Native communities, and to position the stories. And then we have contemporary art, and we have a lot of material from ASM's collections that have animals on them. And they use those to tell and address contemporary stories and perspectives on different issues. So that will be next up at the Tonawanda Rodeo and Parade out in Sells, and then it'll be at the Book Festival. And then at Comic-Con. And
Oh, wow, Comic-Con too, huh?
often bring a Native artist that's in the exhibit. His work is highlighted in the exhibit or her work. And we have them have a table in our tent as well. So again, it's engaging people with objects and stories and ideas. And that's kind of what community engagement in a museum is. We've been doing a lecture series in partnership with Whiskey Del Bac, highlighting the work of different staff and faculty at the Arizona State Museum as well.
All sounds wonderful and fascinating. I did not know about your QR codes all over town. Now I'm going to go. I think that could be a mini tour for people who come visit.
That would be fantastic. There's a teaser one at the beginning of our website to give you a feel for it, which Mark Pignotti, the director of Borderlands Theater, pops up as a hologram on your phone and introduces you to the project. He was one of our partners.
That sounds great. I mean, really, you gave me something to do. I have visitors coming, and that's an exciting day. I love it. Thank you so much. Well, I want to talk to you about you being an artist. Recently, you posted this beautiful Raven Cup on social media and something you kind of made a series of, and I was so passionate about its beauty, I had to buy one. And I would love to hear more about you being an artist and what inspired you to start creating art yourself and being a museum curator have anything to do with your own creations.
I've always dabbled in art. When I was younger, I took pottery. Everybody in my community were potters. Savick Cox was a big influence on me. And she put two kids through Bennington College, which is a very expensive private college, on her money she made for pottery, and her husband through pharmacy school. She was very prominent. Her work, she's
Yeah,
no
that
longer
doesn't seem
alive.
very typical. It doesn't seem like artists do that
Oh.
well.
She put cats on her pots. I put cats on my pots. Her cats were very cute. Mine are a little bit different, but they're totally influenced by her. When I was a teenager and doing pottery, I started taking classes at the Art League in Alexandria, Virginia, at the old torpedo factory, which was fun to go to. I also did archaeology there. And she would fire for the neighborhood. She had a big gas kiln and would fill it up with, you could pay her a little and put your pieces in it. So that was my first influence. Lee Topping, also in the community, was an influence. Lethea McDougall. These are all Holland Hillers. I grew up in a mid-century modern neighborhood full of artists and full of like State Department people. So I was exposed at an early age to travel and different cultures. Obviously, falls into my work as in museums and
Sure.
then to making and creating as well. So I first started in pottery, and my mom and I would do linoleum prints for Christmas cards. And because
I was
she's
going to
our.
ask you, what did you first, or what were the mediums that first attracted you?
In high school, I really got into photography, and I had a whole life as a photographer. I was a professional photographer. I was doing documentary photography. I was doing portrait photography. I was doing this at the same time that I worked at the Smithsonian. So I had a night job and a day job, a weekend job. I did a whole documentary on Southeast Asian American women living in the DC area. I had work in magazines. I was young. I had a lot of energy. It's part of my life. I can't be without it.
And we're glad that it is part of your life because now that I have this cup in my living room, it's part of my life too.
Your cup was inspired by. I went to the Clay Festival in Silver City, and while I was there, I went to the Hilo National Forest, and there were these two ravens up in a tree just chatting away, chatting, chatting, chatting. It looked like they were gossiping about all of us, and they didn't, pay as much mind. And I took a picture of them, and that became the inspiration for the cup you have, as well as for a lino print that I did.
You know, it's interesting because I was posting for a few weeks before I saw your cup of these ravens that was on the top of my house. They'd literally almost knock on my door to have me come out. And then I'd come outside and they didn't move. They would dance around and sing to me and yell at me and do all this stuff. And I thought for sure you had seen that. And then you started doing raven cups for me.
Well, yours is special for you.
It is very special for me. You have three major bodies of work. Sgravito, embossed, and multicolored. Can you explain what these are and the differences?
Yes, sgraffito is Italian and it means basically carving. So I carve and paint on my pottery. That's how your Raven piece was done. The embossed, I stamp into a piece of clay, cut it out, and put it on. I have a series of bicycle mugs where the bicycle is climbing up a hill. I was a big cyclist, and I'm thinking about the Tour de Tucson folks this weekend. It's their big weekend. So that one, I've placed the embossed piece on the mug so it sticks out. I like to play with color, and I've been influenced by all the different places I live. I loved the turquoise and different blues of the Caribbean and Florida. And I love the sage greens here and the monsoon colors and the teals and other colors of New Mexico. Instead of just putting one color or two colors on a vessel, I often sort of blend them together. And I have like a series of plates I did that I call the monsoon series. It looks like a monsoon storm sky with the different colors coming in with the sunset. And some of them look like landscapes. And I really enjoy doing that. They're like the surprises that you get when you pull it out of the kiln.
You know, it's really interesting. What I was really attracted to beside the raven was the fact that the entire cup is covered in artwork. I mean, it looks like a painting on a cup. It doesn't look just like a pottery cup. You also have your signature on the bottom so that when you're drinking your coffee, everybody can see even a pretty piece of art on the bottom of the cup. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I call my work functional art because it's art you can use every day. I now put little surprises of pictures on the bottom because I do so much Zoom meetings for my work and I'm always drinking in my cup. I went, oh, that's another surface. Let me put something there that's a little surprise. And so often there's a little cat poking up because there's a lot of cats on my pots.
Because you have cats.
Cats and flowers, birds, because I work at home mainly and I'm looking out at my garden and that's what it's
Yes,
about.
you have a beautiful garden. I have to say, when I got my Raven Cup, I was very impressed with your backyard.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's time we took a little bit of a music break here because we love to have music by women on our show. And you chose the song Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman. Can you tell us why you picked that song for today?
Just seemed appropriate for our times.
Absolutely.
Was, you know,
And
just
she's coming back out again. And
so
she's.
yeah, and that song I think was from the late 80s, and wasn't it?
Just to add a little information here, Talking About a Revolution was written by Tracy Chapman while she was in high school and released in 1988. Tracy went to a preparatory high school in Connecticut where she felt like an outcast economically because she was a student receiving financial aid. So as a result, she wrote Talking About a Revolution. Later on, when she was studying at Tufts University, another student, Brian Koppelman, saw her perform some of her songs. He smuggled a tape of her from the university's radio station and played it for his father, Charles Koppelman, who ran SBK Publishing. This led to Tracy Chapman singing with Elektra Records. The song was very successful on the billboards in this country and overseas. It's also been used politically since its release, such as in Bernie Sanders' campaign in the 2016 presidential election and in the 2020 election. It's been well regarded as a social justice song and was named to Rolling Stone's list of the 100 best protest songs of all time in 2025. Let's listen to Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman from her album of the same name. 91.3 KXCI Tucson. I really love that song. Thanks for choosing it for today, Lisa. And we're returning to our interview with Lisa Falk, local artist.
So, can we talk a little bit about your process for creating and what it does for you? How does it make you feel?
Sure, I was up until 12:30 last night in the studio. I got home at 8 and went right into the studio. You know, for me, it's a centering process. I always say if you're throwing pottery on the wheel, people say, oh, it's so hard to center and all. And I said, well, you know, that's okay. Because the more you do it, you can go in a studio and had a really bad day. You're not centered personally at all. And you can't get a piece of clay to center. But by the end of the evening, you're centered. The clay centers you. And that's what pottery does, or any art form. It makes you focus on something small and one thing. It's like a meditation.
I was
And
going to say, it sounds like a meditation where you have to be in the moment.
and then the clay will center you. Now, I've been potting for a really long time, so I don't really have trouble centering anymore. But a lot of beginners suffer with that. And I just say you have to let go of it. The clay is doing the work you need to do for yourself right now. You know, pottery is so physical. And it's also circulating, you know, it's going around. And so it is like walking a labyrinth, actually, in a way. It just brings you to the center. I listen to books while I work now. I'm involved in a story. So I have two things that I'm focusing on, what I'm thinking about in my pottery, and then this company of this story going on. I don't listen to podcasts usually. I'm a member of the Tucson Clay Co-op, and I used to work there. I have a home studio now. And somebody would put on NPR, and I just couldn't do the work because I'd get upset by the stories.
Sure.
You know, it's also for me right now in these troubled times, I want to put beauty back into the world. I think we all have to take a moment to observe and notice something beautiful and good wherever we are, because if we lose that, we lose our humanity. I walk in the garden and water and check on my plants. I love that sort of as my wake up meditation process, because I'm noticing, oh, there's a butterfly or there's a new bloom here, just a little something to embrace beauty in our lives. And so my pottery, like I said, it has flowers on it. It
Yeah,
has
I was going to
her.
ask you about where you found your inspiration, and does it have your artwork have a message? So I think that's
Yeah,
what you.
that's sort of what it is. But I was just traveling in Spain for 3 weeks. I went for a work conference and then I added time because there's incredible museums. I went to see the Guggenheim in Bilbao, which was mind-blowing, the architecture of it and everything. But then I went in Barcelona to La Sagrada Familia by Antonio Gaudí, an incredible Catalan architect from the last century. And this is a cathedral that's been built for over 100 years. They still haven't finished it. They're still working on it. And in the basement, they had a whole exhibit about his influences on his creativity. And they showed how in this cathedral, it's the first of its type that didn't use flying buttresses. And that was because he studied tree roots and tree branches, and he designed to mimic that. And it made me think about that. And I have several different pieces now that were influenced by visiting Gaudi's works. I have two mugs that are inspired by the stained glass windows in the church. I was really taken by the grandeur, the beauty, and the simplicity. And the stained glass windows, I do quilt making too, and they look like crazy quilts in a way, the way they were pieced together. So I have two mugs that have basically the shape of those stained glass windows and my own designs inside of them, along with hidden words like hope and fight and truth
That
and
sounds
love.
fabulous. Well, speaking of your artwork, are you in any art shows coming up? Where can we find your art?
It is the season of markets
It's
in Tucson.
market
I hope
season.
people will support local and support artists and creativity. I will be at Made in Tucson, which is my most favorite market of all, on November 30th. It's on 7th Avenue between 4th and 7th Streets. It has, I think, something like 250 juried in creators of all kinds of media. And I share a booth. Shout out to my partner, Keita Tsutsumi. And he and I have very different works, and we enjoy sharing a booth together and sharing our work with the community. So we will be there on November 30th. I always list all the shows I'm going to be in, all the markets, and my new work on my Instagram, as you know, because that's where you saw my piece. And my Instagram is called Happily Becoming. Happily becoming myself, because art does that to yourself. So, but I really want to say that I'm very thankful to the people who do Made in Tucson. It is an incredible show. They do so much to bring community together at the Coalition Space. And for
Yes.
Made in Tucson, we just had a mixer for all the vendors so we get to know each other. And while I was there, I met James Burr, and at 12:30 last night, he has Desert Garden Collective, and he does stickers. And so I'm like, "Can you do a sticker of this print?" Because I'm doing lino prints now at the drawing studio, and I have one with a dragon on it. And I said, "Can you get this done before Made in Tucson?" And this is at 12:30 at night. You know, we're texting back and forth, and as soon as I get done here, I'm uploading my image to him to do my sticker that I will have at Made in Tucson. My printmaking and my pottery inform each other because the printmaking, you're carving as well, and I'm carving on my pottery. So right now I have a platter and a mug with a great horned owl on it, on a cactus, on saguaros, and then I have a print that is similar. Each is a little different. There's a moon in each. There's two great horned owls in them, and there's saguaro in them, but they don't look exactly alike, but they refer to each other.
I love
And
that. You're giving people a theme for their home.
yeah, well, I want to do a shout out to the drawing studio and to Ben Bachman because he is my teacher, and we have a drop-in print night, the print lab, every Thursday night. So if you're curious about printmaking, please come join us.
Oh, I love all that. That sounds so great. Thank you so much. And I just have to say, the mixer before the show, what a wonderful idea to get the artists to all know each other. That's Tucson.
This is my community.
Yeah, this is
You
the place to
know,
be.
Tucson, these are artists, and we all help each other, and it's just we make each other smile. You know, when your kiln blows up, you cry
Right.
together.
You add so much to our community. I remember when Marge first told me about you, she said, "You must meet this person." And she was right.
That's all the time we have for today. But Lisa Falk, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today to talk about your beautiful art and about being a museum curator. You add much to our community, and we appreciate you. And thanks to all of you out there for joining us today. This is Kathy Harris with Aspen Green, and you've been listening to Broad Perspectives Radio. You can hear more of our programs at kxci.org on our Broad Perspectives podcast page. For now, don't touch that dial because next up we have Boom Goddess Radio with Jennifer Davis Page. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.